Welcome to Prophetic Forum with Jeannie Richardson. Tonight, Jeannie discusses the differences of the office of the prophet versus the gift of prophecy. Also, a special guest makes a surprise visit to the forum, so stay tuned.
I do have a request. I want to start off in the spirit here. Martha and Norma said, if you have time, I had a dream. Almost all the fish in my son's tank died. The water was cloudy with only a few fish, including one baby orange one. So does that mean that only a few of the fish were still alive? Okay, and all the rest had died.
Mm-hmm. Okay. A few fish and one little baby orange.
Yeah. So, you know, when you have dreams that involve death, Satan comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That is speaking of a lot of different things. The water's cloudy. It's difficult to see. So one of the things you're going to pray about is not only that no area in his life Satan would be able to steal from, because Satan comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But also, because it was kind of murky, that God will open up his spiritual eyes to see what God wants to show him, especially in the areas of the life of God. Because because fish represent discipleship, salvation, but they also represent the fullness of life. You know, that's why the fish was kind of the symbol for Christians for thousands of years, actually. From even the Greeks had what we call the ichthus, which, you know, was the fish with the Greek letters in it that looked like, you know, a line and a cross and all that stuff. And so it represents the life of God. And so you have Ezekiel talking about the river of life. I believe it's Ezekiel 47. And it talks about a river that flows, and everywhere the river goes, there's fish. So it's also speaking about your son's life, his life in God, and then also being able to see clearly the things God wants to show him. Amen. Does anybody else have any insight on that particular dream? Go for it, dude.
So a question, first of all, the fish tank itself for your son, how important is it? Is it like a big deal, kind of?
Yeah, he really enjoys his fish tank, and he cares about the fish.
Gotcha. So being a fish person myself, when the water is cloudy, it's because stuff's in there that doesn't belong in there. Mm. And it's time for new water. Mm-hmm. So it's potentially a matter of needing to be open to something new, not allowing the old to choke out the things that are crucial, like oxygen. Mm-hmm. If the water has no oxygen, when fish are, you know, trying to breathe. So there's that. And then the fact that one baby survived is also indicative of new. So the new hangs in. So that's just the only real insight I have to share. So I hope his fish are okay.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, they are.
Yeah, that was really good. And it did not, it didn't escape me that the one baby fish that survived was kind of an orangish gold color. And that can be representing the glory of the Lord or the spirit of the Lord upon that new life kind of thing. That thing that even though the enemy is trying to steal, kill, and destroy, life is remaining. The Lord is keeping that and his longing and desires alive, like weaving it in with what dude said. Did you see that, dude? Weaving it in, swimming, swimming.
Amen. That's cute. Amen.
Well, and I have one more dream I want to do tonight, because I know there's opportunities to do different things. Go ahead and mute. Yeah, there you go. And I did promise Robin, she has two really, really amazing dreams, but I'll cover one of them now. If we have time later, we'll do that. But we want to open it up to prophecy later on. I want to teach a little bit about the office of a prophet. I have, you know, 26 notes just on the office gifting. So we probably won't cover it all tonight, but I do want to, as I teach on that, there'll be an impartation Because remember, anytime you teach on something from the word, there's inspiration, there's anointing to impart that, and then there's an increase of that anointing upon your life. And so I want to open it up for you guys to kind of begin to allow Holy Spirit to stir in your heart's words for different people. And the way you usually do that is you'll look kind of around a little mosaic, and as people come on, and just listen to your spirit and ask the Father, Father, how do you feel about that person? Father, do you have a word of blessing for that person? And so let's talk about this dream first. Robin had some amazing dreams, and I want to share one of them tonight. And I don't know if we'll have time for another one tonight, but I want to share one tonight, and then I can share the other one another night. So thank you, Robin, for sharing with us. And you're awesome. You rock. You're such a blessing. Okay, so the one I want to share about tonight is what you call the path of waterways. So cool. I am so blessed by you guys' dreams, because it's like I get to kind of go into them and see them. So I'm going to read you the dream, and then I'm going to go back over it a little bit, okay? And then I welcome your input. So just listen with your spirit, man. Now, when I hear a dream, you're going to find out when we talk about the prophet tonight, there's also seer prophets. There's two major kind of prophets. One of them get words by inspiration, like Jeremiah, and we'll talk about that a little bit. It's kind of like the bubbling up that bubbles up, and they just feel like they're going to blow up if they don't say something. And then they're just really loud and very entertaining, you know, kind of like Cindy Jacobs or many of the others. And then there's the seers, and we'll talk about that later, but they're kind of like Bob Jones. Well, I saw a flag, and under the flag was a red ball, and then the ball went rolling down the street, and the flag went on it, and they rolled together, and then it went down into the river. And you're like, you know, it's just not entertaining. It's like you have to, it's not like this entertaining thing. It's like you have to kind of go into the vision and say, like, okay, God, what in the world are you trying to say? Okay. And so it's very interpretive. The seer realm is especially in dreams. You know, God speaks parabolically in dreams. We've learned this every week now. And it 99.9% of the time has to be interpreted, unless it's what's called a night vision. And then that's when you have a vision while you're sleeping and you literally see something before it happens. But 99% of dreams are actually interpretive, and so they're very parabolic, like everything that is from the seer realm usually, unless you're literally seeing something happening in the spirit as is now, okay, or as it's going to be right now. Or it was right then. But most of the time, it's parabolic. So here's the dream. Robin, why don't you go ahead and wave at everybody? Robin's iPad, yeah. Okay, so she walks into a room. I'm going to read it the way she wrote. She walked into a room, and I saw my daughters, Natasha and Christina. They were caring for an infant in swaddling. They wanted to leave to go somewhere, but needed to keep the child behind. I volunteered to stay and care for the child. Holding the child, I was walking around and came into an area that was an open view from the inside of a cave, looking directly outside. I can see the brilliant blue skies before me. I can hear water running down the side of the wall. As I look down upon the child's face for the first time, I saw that the child was different, not artificial, but different in a way I cannot explain. A well-dressed, well-composed man walks in and tells me it's time to go. I handed the child over to someone I did not see. The man I am walking with reminds me of Brad Pitt in the movie Meet Joe Black. There was this uncanny calmness about him, and I will call him Joe. We are now walking on a planked path under the ground in a waterway. We are now walking on a planked path under the ground in a waterway. There's many paths going in different directions. While Joe and I are talking, a security type man approaches and says the boat's ready. Joe nods his head slowly, steadily, and we continue to walk casually. I can feel the water swishing between the planks, paths that are above the water, but I only feel peace. Another man approaches and respectfully but firmly states, "The boat is leaving." Joe again nods his head in a slow and steady manner. We reach the boat dock, and there a speedboat that has left the dock and is about a quarter of a mile away. Suddenly, I'm in the boat, in the back seat. The man driving the boat looks like Nathan, my son-in-law, but at the time of the dream, he was just a man that she met. Nathan is hard of hearing in real life from serving in Iraq. This guy in the dream says, "I hear an ant." I'm thinking, how do you hear an ant? He puts the boat in auto and turns around and starts tearing out the upholstery of the seat next to me. He uncovers a large artificial intelligent bug like a robotic, and the dream ends. So much stuff. So let's take a step back. Let's look at the overview. Let's look at the facts. Don't lose the forest for the trees. But what is the overall thing here? She starts out. Okay, so I'm just going to go step by step and tell you what I got, and then you can jump in however God leads you. So number one, she was in a room, saw her daughters, Natasha and Christina. They're caring for an infant in swaddling, which is awesome because it's representing something new, something beautiful, a baby. But I want to say, because they had to go somewhere and they needed to keep the child behind, she volunteered to stay and care for it. I feel like, Robin, that's not only speaking about your legacy, but I feel like Holy Spirit was also highlighting that your children, Natasha and Christina, have something very important that needs to be cared for. Regardless of what's going on with them, they have something that needs to be cared for, and you are going to care for it in the spirit, okay? And so even though they're kind of going and doing their thing, going away, you're caring for it. You're holding the child. You go into this kind of cave area, which is interesting because if you've ever been to Jerusalem, Bethlehem, they show kind of where Jesus was born, and they say it was in this cave thing. Now, whether or not it was, it's still representing a place of, number one, safety. It can even represent the womb, and it can even represent something birthed from God. So you have the baby in a very safe place, but at the same time, you're seeing blue skies. You're seeing the horizon ahead with revelation. The blue is representing revelation. You're seeing brilliant blue skies. It's a wonderful kind of picture of the amazing new things that the Lord has for you. So it's not just about this legacy and these babies, or this baby, I should say, but it's also about what the Lord has for you as well. Then you go into this you hear the water running down the wall. And for me, this is Psalms 27:7. You're in this cave. You're looking down the child's face. The face is changed because your child, if you have grandchildren, it can represent that, or it can represent the legacy. As you go and flow with the things of God, as you're sheltered away in the deep place, in the secret place of the Most High, those things that you care for, those things that you contend for, are being changed supernaturally. Okay, from glory to glory. You're safe in the cleft of the rock, in that place of intimacy with the Lord. This dressed, well-dressed man, he reminds you of Joe Black. Of course, in that show, that was an angel. So it's definitely an angelic being, or at least a spiritual being. It can represent Holy Spirit, okay, and the guidance of Holy Spirit, or it can represent angels attending you to bring you to the place at the right place at the right time so you don't miss the boat supernaturally, okay? But either way, they work together, right? The angels are at the behest of the Heavenly Father, so it can be Holy Spirit guiding you, and or it can be, of course, the angels and how the angel is attending you. Time to go. You give the baby over. You release this baby. It's okay. There's a place of peace. You prayed it through. You did your part. You did the thing what you were supposed to do. That part of the assignment's over. That's a good thing. Now it's time to move on. And as you're going, you have peace, you're following the leading of Holy Spirit. You end up going into this underground waterway, Psalm 42:7, deep is calling unto deep. You're in the deep places with God where the river of the Lord is flowing, amen. Psalms 42:7, at the sound of your water brooks, all of your waves flow over me, amen. You can feel the place of refreshing where the water is running down the side of the cave. And so in this dream, you're having complete peace, amen. Suddenly again, you miss the boat. Now this is a speed boat. You're gonna accelerate, you're gonna go fast, but you're missing the boat, but you're at peace, la-di-da. I'm just gonna be led by the Lord. It's all gonna fall into place. Now for those of you that are not, like you're more apostolic, I know this drives you crazy. But for those of us like me, there's different clocks. Okay, right, Kim? There's different clocks. Now one of them is the clock that actually has numbers on it and there's seconds and stuff like that, you know. But then there's the clock of, it's all going to work out. When I get there, it will be the perfect time. And even though you're trying to go by the clocks that people have, and it's very heartbreaking and offensive to them because their love language is being on time, you have to realize that some of us don't have that clock on the inside of us, and we're trying to be disciplined. But on the other hand, when you miss the boat, Robin did in this speedboat where God's going to accelerate her. Suddenly she's exactly in the boat by the power of Holy Spirit. And then she hears this, then the guy leading on the boat that's driving the boat, he's like, I can hear something. Now in the natural, the guy cannot hear. The guy is represented by her son-in-law who has hearing damage. But in the boat, he can hear the most minutest thing and he uncovers it. So what the Lord is saying, Robin, is that the Lord is going to, by the Spirit of God, he's going to accelerate you and he's going to cause you to supernaturally be equipped to be able to hear supernaturally what the Lord is saying. Ta-da! Does that make sense? Now, does anybody else want to add something? Go ahead,
Thank
Robin.
You, Jeannie. That was awesome.
Wasn't that fun?
That was great.
That's so much fun. I like dreams like this. That was so much fun. I love all these dreams. Okay, does anybody else have anything you want to add to this before we kind of jump into some teaching tonight?
I do, Jeannie.
Go ahead, Elizabeth.
When you were talking about Joe Black, I agree. I think he was an angel. And then when she handed the baby to someone, immediately I thought of, do you remember, well, of course you do, you're a pastor. In the Bible, the servant that went to go look for a wife for, was it Jacob, Isaac?
Yeah, was that, I can't remember, was that Gehazi? Does anybody remember? Not Gehazi, who was the servant of Isaac? Isaac's, was it Abraham's servant, who was it, Kim? Abraham's servant that helped him find a wife for Rebecca, and it turned out to be Rebecca.
Well, I took it as the yeah. Holy Spirit. I took
yeah,
it as
that's good. Absolutely, yes. And he represents Holy Spirit, absolutely.
That's what I got.
Very good. I love it, Elizabeth. Absolutely. So good. Very good. Okay, so how y'all doing? I love y'all. So glad to see you. How are you, Claudia?
I'm good. Thank you very much.
I love you. I'm going to jump into the office of a prophet and lay some preliminary because it's interesting because I did get invited to share on a television show. And this is so funny because it turns out since I'm sharing on the office of a prophet, I have to develop some teaching on today's prophets and what is the heart of today's prophet. And this was really a beautiful expression of how Holy Spirit is kind of equipping us to build our prophetic ministries going forward with the understanding of what is a prophet, am I prophetic, you know, what's the difference between a prophet and being prophetic and stuff like that. And just remember, just because you prophesy doesn't mean you're a prophet. But on the other hand, we learned that everyone is supposed to and has the ability by the Spirit of God to hear God's voice, hear a word of blessing for the people around you, and to be able to share that. Amen. And so we learned that in that everyone has been, because of the Holy Spirit being poured out, everyone can prophesy what's called simple prophecy, and that is edification, exhortation, and comfort. That's to build up, to comfort, and to console. Amen. And that is the primary earmark of a New Testament prophecy or a New Testament prophet. Even if they speak correction or direction, it will be for the purpose of building up and encouraging, because the Bible says not to let anything that everything is to be done by for the purpose of building up the church. Now, that word building up, though, also means to realign. And so sometimes there is kind of a correction and a redirection. And that's what I'm kind of hoping to do, a little bit of that on this prophetic forum. And then to be able to, for you to be equipped to hear God for yourself. Amen. So, and then different levels of prophetic gifting. We saw there's simple prophecy that everyone is called to do. And, you know, if you feel the love of God, you sense the love of God, you put words in words of containers of love for people, and you speak it with the love of God, that's prophecy. You're simply sharing what God is saying to bless people. And then you have, as that increases in people's life, you also have the spirit of prophecy where, you know, you're in a meeting and maybe you have a higher level of that prophetic anointing and unction. Many times I'll get a prophetic word for people, but I wait for the prophetic unction. Yes. You know what, Margo? I don't want to take a chance of missing you tonight. Margo just chatted. She's joined us from New York. We want to believe the Lord. Stephanie, she's believing the Lord because her heart is skipping beats since Monday. So I'm going to pray. We're going to pray for you right now, Margo. We just... prayed over somebody. I don't see her now, but I saw her a few minutes ago and she got off. So we're going to pray for her right now. She's in New York. Stephanie, would you pray for her? And we'll just be in agreement with you because I know the Lord healed your heart.
Father God, we just come before your throne of grace, Lord, and we thank you that you are Jehovah Rapha. You are the healer. You are the great physician. And right now, we just command and declare that her heart will come back into perfect rhythm, Lord, the rhythm of life, Lord, that flows from heaven. Father God, we just speak your breath over her right now, Lord. Mm-hmm. And we speak a spirit of calm and peace to her heart, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are putting within her, Lord, just a spirit of comfort, Lord. We cast out all fear, all anxiety and anguish, Lord, because it's something that you can't control, but Lord, you control her heart. So Lord, we just thank you that your hand is upon her, Lord, and we just thank you for good results, Lord, and that you are good all the time. So we bless her. We bless her with your peace, your comfort, Lord, and your love that encircles her right now by the power of Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So good. Amen. Amen. And for those of you that were just joined us, we were praying for Margo Kemp or Kempo from New York. She had a heart issue and got off the phone. We're just believing now that she's healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Stephanie. You rock. So we found out, added to simple prophecies, the gift of the spirit of prophecy, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. There's an unction. Many times I will get a prophetic word, but I wait for the unction, the spirit of prophecy, to kind of bubble up within me. And then I look for the timing, moving in the orchestration of how Holy Spirit's moving in the leadership of that particular church as well, and the order of the service. I'm not going to interrupt the preaching or teaching, or if Kim's in the middle of a solo, I am going to wait till she gets in the middle of till she has a pause. And then I kind of wave her down and then she keeps strumming so that I can release whatever. Let everything be done decently and in order. Amen. We're not in the 80s anymore where the, you know, the prophet would get up and blast the church with the word of the Lord, some word of condemnation right in the middle of the pastor preaching. It was so bad. It was so lame. We were so immature. We didn't know what we were doing. And then added to that is the gift of prophecy. We talked about that. Now, not everybody flows in the gift of prophecy, which is basically you can prophesy 99.99% of the time. But the gift of prophecy is something where you're just on, you're just like, you just switch. It's like any other gift. It's totally by the grace of God. And then you just flow in it. But everybody can do simple prophecy, edification, exhortation, and comfort. And then there's the gifts of the Spirit, where God will add the gifts, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. We learned about that, okay? Did I hear my name?
Yeah, but you were talking about somebody free-flowing in the prophetic. That still doesn't mean that they're called to the office of prophecy, right?
That's
just exactly. To clarify so I can understand.
Thank you. Yes. Everybody is called to prophesy. Everyone is called with the ability to prophesy, which is basically speaking a word of it that will encourage, build up, and comfort to by the Spirit of God, prompted by the Spirit of God to the people around us. Joel 2, it says, I will pour out my spirit. I believe it's Joel 2:28. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. So
you said somebody would flow 99% of the time, but that's still not the office of the prophet, right?
It's still not.
Thank you.
Yes, and that is a good question. You can have the gift of prophecy, be able to prophesy like the wind, and still not have the governmental office calling of a prophet.
Got it. Thank
there's,
you.
Yeah. So there's simple prophecy. Then there's the gift of prophecy where people can, man, they prophesy all the time. And many people actually call them prophets. They say, oh, there's a prophet because they prophesy all the time. But when I talk about the office gifting, you'll see the difference. What's interesting is that not all prophets operate in the gift of prophecy where they prophesy all the time. Have you ever been around prophets that don't prophesy much? You're like, when are they going to prophesy? But they're doing prophetic acts, or once in a while they give a prophetic word. Okay? And so it's very interesting. And I know some of this, not so much by just scripture, but experience. I've met prophets, been with prophets. You can line up 20 people and they'll be like, I don't flow like that. That's just not how God uses me. Now, Bill Hammond, yes, he's a prophet that has the gift of prophecy, and he prophesies all the time. And it's interesting because prophets like that don't understand why other prophets just don't prophesy all the time. But not all prophets prophesy all the time or even have the ability to or even want to. They just want to share God's word when God tells them to. And so let's talk about now that we did a little bit of review. Let's talk about the office of a prophet. Now, sometime we'll share about the different ways God speaks, and that's so much fun. And we'll cover maybe a little bit of that tonight when we talk about the office of a prophet. But this is what you need to know. There are distinctions and earmarks that specifically say that's a prophet versus everyone else. But the way you receive from the Lord is the same. It's the same Father. It's the same Holy Spirit. It's the same gifts of the Spirit. The biggest difference is maybe the anointing, maybe increased more. It might be increased more on a prophet. Not necessarily. I've met people that are highly prophetic. Say highly prophetic.
Highly prophetic.
Doesn't mean they're a prophet, but they're highly prophetic. They are so anointed. But the office of a prophet is going to have some different earmarks to it. So let's talk about that. And God really knows the difference. But so the office of a prophet. So the office of a prophet is going to operate in almost all of these, which most of all of you can also. They're going to be able to. Now, when I make the list, it means they're going to operate in most of these. They don't have to operate in all of them, but they're going to operate in most of them at least, okay? And then some of you can also, even if you're not called to the office. So the office of a prophet is given by the Holy Spirit. According to 1 Corinthians 12 in verse 7, it talks about giftings of the prophecy, but then it also speaks about being able to speak this prophecy in church. And that is a gift given by the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean they're a prophet. Again, you all can do that as well if you're allowed to in churches, if they allow you to do that. But again, I'm telling you certain earmarks that collectively could mean this person is a prophet. And then we're going to go to some specifics. But all y'all can operate in most of this. They have the gift of prophecy. Okay, according to 1 Corinthians 12, it says in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So the manifestation of the Spirit, all manifestations of the Spirit is given by the Spirit of God. And it is for the primary purpose of building up and encouraging the church. Okay, people that are called to the office of a prophet, many will have the gift of prophecy. So will you. Many prophets will be, have the ability to inspirationally speak forth. According to 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14, pursue love, especially that you may prophesy. So prophets may prophesy in church, but so can you, even if you're not called to the office of a prophet. Now, a person that is called to the office of a prophet is called by the Lord. Now, let me explain. In Ephesians 4, 8 through 11, it says, he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, he gave gifts to men, okay? And it goes on to say, he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, how many prophets? Some, okay? So, these are gifts that the Lord gave to the church. So I have the gift of prophecy, for example, so that I can prophesy and build you up. And so do you if you have that gift. But you may all do simple prophecy, and that is just speaking edification, exhortation, comfort, put it on a Valentine, speak it. That's simple prophecy. You may all do that. But not everybody is a prophet. It says here in verse 11, Ephesians 4:11, he himself gave some to be prophets. So not everybody is a prophet. Now, I have the gift of prophecy, so I can give, so I can release that to you, and I can bless you and build you up. But I am a prophet as a gift to you. I am a prophet as a gift to you. And that is a calling from the Lord, because he himself gave some to be prophets. Okay, now, you're commissioned, you're called into the office by the Lord. And later, sometime, we'll cover Jeremiah 1. Before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you and called you to be a prophet to the nations, to pull down, to pluck up, to push over, to destroy, to plant, and to build. Don't say I can't do it, because I've called you and I've chosen you. Okay, that's the calling of the office of a prophet is from the Lord. And we're going to talk about how he does that in different ways in a few minutes. But the commissioning is by the church. The calling to the office is by the Lord, is from the Lord. The commissioning is by the church. The commissioning by being recognized and given authority to function in the church or in a particular setting is given by the people that lead that church or that organization, okay? So you have to be commissioned. You have to have permission. Everything has to be done decently and in order. So just because I'm called as a prophet doesn't mean I'm free to operate as a prophet in a church or in a particular setting of people unless I'm recognized and given permission to do that. Can you all hear the peacocks agreeing with me? Can you guys hear the peacocks?
Yeah,
those are peacocks. It's mating season, and so they're all screaming at each other right now. They do this the last thing at night, and then they do it first thing in the morning, like 5 in the morning. They start all screaming at each other. So they're very, very vocal about their love. There you go. So commissioned by the church. Now, we have an example of that in Acts 11:27. In those days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Now, it's interesting that prophets in the New Testament, just like in the Old Testament, kind of gathered together. Isn't that interesting? A bunch of prophets that had been, you know, like the school of the prophets that Samuel led, remember, in the Old Testament? Now, I didn't really think about that much, but then I was reading that the prophets, in those days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. So you've got a cluster of prophets. They're hanging around each other. You know, they're learning from each other, the older and the younger. The younger from the older. Let's put it that way. Verse 28, then one of them named Agabus stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. So you've got recognized prophets coming from Jerusalem to Antioch, and then you've got Agabus, and they know he's a true prophet. He has a track record, and he's warning the church, hey, everybody, there's going to be a famine, okay? So that doesn't sound all that great, does it? But remember, a prophet is going to give correction, direction, there, but it's for redemption, building up, protecting, and realigning. Amen? And he was recognized, so he was commissioned actually by a body of believers, okay? Now, prophets also will speak edification, exhortation, comfort. They're going to do equipping, teaching, direction, correction. Now, that's a big difference between just giving simple prophecy. Simple prophecy, it's whatever you can put on a Valentine card. If you can't put it on a Valentine card, don't say it. But a prophet has been commissioned. He's been called by God, he or she, but then given a permission, been commissioned, given permission by being commissioned, given permission, so they are commissioned, to speak encouragement, but also give direction and correction, okay? Now, they may give words of knowledge, words of wisdom, flowing the gifts of the Spirit, discerning of spirits. Kenneth Hagin says that someone called in his book on the prophet, which I read when I was like 16, okay, because I was so excited about. So that's how you know a lot about what you're called to, what really turns your crank, what really excites you, right? And so in his book, The Prophet, Kenneth Hagin, who was a prophet, Jesus appeared to him in the flesh 7 times, and he says that a prophet must operate in at least 2 of the revelation gifts. And remember, the revelation gifts, according to 1 Corinthians 12, are discerning of spirits. That's knowing the operation of things happening in the spirit realm, either by, and there's 4 different kinds of spirits, remember? So there's Holy Spirit, there's demons, there's angels, and then there's human spirits, right? So you have to be careful, and this is advanced prophecy right now, but in purifying the prophetic, when you teach in high level people that have been operating in the spirit a long time, you have to be watchful not to just read somebody's spirit and repeat back what they want to hear, but really ask the Lord, now, Lord, what are you saying to them? What do you want them to know? Okay. Kenneth Hagin says at least 2 of the revelatory giftings, word of wisdom, supernatural, detailed information about a person, place, or thing. Present word of wisdom would be future, according to Kenneth Hagin. And then also just having supernatural insight into things and into people. And then words of knowledge, which is supernatural, detailed information about a person, place, or thing, present or past.
Thank you for tuning in to Prophetic Forum with Jeannie Richardson. Stay tuned for part 2.